Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. The challenges humanity faces are enormous and urgent. Solving them is simple. Start by caring for other people the way Tibet's Dalai Lama lives his life, says our guest, journalist Thomas Laird. Mr. Laird has condensed 9 years of research and writing and over 60 hours with the Dalai Lama into a landmark book, The History of Tibet, Conversations with the Dalai Lama. Yes, our challenges are many, huge, and alarming, and there's hope.
If humans have a future, the future is in working together, in finding the common good, in working through compassion and wisdom rather than greed, anger, ignorance, lust, and pride. And what the Dalai Lama brings to the world stage is about who he is. His approach to all the problems is through one of wisdom and compassion and human kindness, caring for other people. He always puts that first, and he says that all the problems we face in this world, if we would put that first, we could solve them.
The story of Tibet, Conversations with the Dalai Lama, is the result of intense exchanges between veteran journalist Thomas Laird and the 14th Dalai Lama, the spiritual and temporal leader of Tibet. Mr. Laird was based in Kathmandu for 30 years. He was the Nepal correspondent for Asia Week for a decade, a regular contributor to Time and Newsweek magazines. He's author of 3 additional books. His photography has appeared in 2 more, and his photos have appeared in more than 50 magazines. Bill Russell and I share Mr. Laird and the Dalai Lama's keen sense of the importance of understanding the past while we work to find solutions for the future. We welcomed both this opportunity to explore Mr. Laird's insights and the energy the Dalai Lama's elegantly simple approach offers us all. Thomas Laird, I found myself thinking with you about Tibet and thinking in the largest sense how important history is. Mm-hmm. Now, we regularly say we don't really know very much, especially Americans, about history. And your take that nomads and farmers have a natural disaffinity, if you will, that this is huge in the human experience, took on a whole new meaning, thinking about Asia, right, and thinking about the human animal.
Yeah, you really can't understand the history of Asia unless you understand that great divide between the farmers.
Isn't that the history of the world?
Well, in many ways. I mean, urban civilization is all a farmer society. The only time the nomads have ever really sprung onto the world stage in a dramatic way, of course, was the Mongols, when they came out and just devastated all the agrarian societies and said, "You people are criminals. You know, you people, you're plowing the earth. How dare you plow the earth? We're just going to butcher you." I mean,
and wasn't that the, you say, I think, the biggest empire that ever was?
It was. The Mongol Empire is the largest empire ever created on earth. Yeah. It stretched from Korea to Rome, almost. I mean, it was huge.
Why do we not know this?
Because Americans are focused on the history of our continent, and we don't think in global terms. And I've been lucky enough to spend time in Asia, so I was forced to deal with that. You know, the fact that anytime you pull at any thread in Asia, this slowly you come back to this great divide between the farmers and the nomads. So if you think of the Tibetan Plateau as this island, you know, this mile high, this 2, 3, 4, 5 mile high island in the middle of Asia, then on the south of it, you have the Indian plains. And to the northeast of it, you have the Chinese plains. So it's really the whole of Asia. You can just imagine it, the rice bowls and the wheat bowls of northern China. And then this huge elevated plateau where you can't grow crops, really, except in a few small low valleys around Lhasa. You really can't grow crops, so people herd animals. And then you drop down to the Gangetic Plain, and again, it's all rice. And of course, that's where all the great urban civilizations emerged, was around riverine plateau, you know, riverine plains.
And when you say island, you mean island like Australia. I mean big,
yeah,
island.
One of the
size of Western Europe.
One of the useful things about this to me was, I guess, Americans, we watch news, we think we know what's going on in the world, and you forced me to that map you were just looking at.
Of the world.
Of the world, to get a sense, to recalibrate my sense of China, of Tibet, of everything really east of the Bosporus, and I simply had not realized how huge Tibet, is
the size of Western Europe. The Tibetan Plateau is the size of Western Europe.
Well, and it's odd because you've been out in the world and traveled and been to Kathmandu, and yet...
I just hadn't... You know, China's big, Tibet's small, QED. And it's just simply not the case.
The Tibetan Plateau is 40% of the modern Chinese empire.
Geographically.
Now, remember, that plateau, which is huge, you know, the size of Western Europe, what are there, 5 million people on the plateau? To the south of the plateau in India, 1 billion people. To the north of the plateau in China, 1 billion people. And here in the middle, this vast highlands, this pure land devoid of human dirtiness. I mean, really. I mean, you know, I mean, humans are dirty. We dirty the waters. We cut the earth. We mine. We, you know, pollute the air. But the plateau is this pure land. And that's how Tibetans saw their land, is as this island of purity from where all rivers flow. You know, it's a very sacred thing to them, ringed round by snow. They've always had, those are some very old Tibetan poems I'm quoting from there.
Yeah, and mountains as deities.
Mountains as gods. You know, places where you don't go. Mountains are not places for humans. You go there and dirty the snow. I mean, the first thing you're going to go when you go up on the mountain is you're going to urinate on the snow, right? Well, you're dirtying the snow.
And they really do think of the mountains as gods.
Absolutely.
We're talking with Thomas Laird, who has written extensively about Asia in many different ways, particularly about Tibet, and has now written The Story of Tibet, which is a series of conversations and Thomas Laird's own work with His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Tibet is the subject, the world is the subject, as always, and we're delighted to have Thomas Laird with us. Bill Russell, I, Paula Gordon, invite you to be with us when we return with a great deal more in just a moment.